that if we put them together, we can see the entire picture. The entire picture. I had an individual come up to me one day at a seminar and said, you know, Canary, he said, this is all well and good, and I'd like to go ahead and do it. But he said, you realize that by the time I reach this goal, I want to set. He said, I'm 50 now. He said, and for me to reach this goal, I'd be 58. I said, well, how old will you be if you don't reach it? Come on, think about it now. I mean the kind of thinking that we get involved in. Einstein said that all conditions and all circumstances in our lives, he said, they are a result of a certain level of thinking. Now, he said, if we want to change the conditions and the circumstance, we got to change the level of thinking that's responsible for it. We got to change the level of thinking that's responsible for it, which is our expectations must move to a new dimension. In this last paragraph, since you are now well into the heart of the book, I would ask you to pay particular close attention to the ideas which follow, so you can use them to successfully tie all the pieces together. You will soon discover that if the ideas in this chapter are applied with intelligence, that expectation can be a triggering mechanism which attracts into your life every good that you desire. Do you know, if you have something you desire today, which you do, do you know that puts you in touch with it? You're hooked up to it? You're in harmony with it right now? But it's your expectation that moves it into your life. We will always gravitate towards that which we most secretly love, be it base of beautiful or a mixture of both. For into your hand will be placed the exact result of your ideal, your vision. Into your hand will be placed the exact result of your vision and your ideal. So expectation is the triggering mechanism. However, if you do not exercise extreme caution, expectation can also turn just as rapidly into a destructive, lethal enemy. As people go around expecting bad things to happen to them. Oh, I don't want to do that. What if this happens? Therefore, you must be cognizant of how you are exercising this invisible but powerful force. We believe then that you already understand that you cannot have wealth in your material world until you first visualize the wealth in your mind. Have you ever considered that the highest, the most noble, and the most excellent thing about you is formless in nature? That the highest, the most excellent, the most noble thing about you is formless in nature. But what does this really mean? It means that before any one of us can ever begin to overcome the poverty which surrounds us in our external world, we must first conquer the impoverishment that is buried deep within ourselves. Impoverishment meaning many areas of our life. Some people are emotionally bankrupt. Emotionally. Now what we're going to do is Bob is going to come up and take you through the rest of this chapter. And that will start on page 32. And this will show us exactly how this expectation releases or moves this energy into what is called form. And no one will do that better than Bob Proctor. Thank you.
Flip over to page 32. Now, rather than read that page, I want to suggest that you just listen and mentally go along with me. I'm going to attempt to paint a picture in your mind. I want you to image an elderly couple that are living in the backwoods. They've been there all their life. They know nothing except what's in their own immediate environment. Now, this elderly couple have never had an experience of using electricity. All they've ever illuminated their home with is a wax candle or a kerosene lamp. They've had travelers that drop by periodically that have talked about this idea of electricity, but they have never used it. In the latter years of their life, they're transported into a small town. And to their amazement, this house is lighted with little 8-candle bulbs. Now, keep in mind, all they've ever used is the wax candle or the